Hello, I'm Moncon McGann, and you're very welcome to the Big Adventure podcast. This week, we're going to look at surfing. I have Martin Cullinan, who comes from Tramore in County Waterford. He's a surf instructor at the Tramore Bay Surf and Echo Centre and has his own surf shop, Impact, in Waterford City. Also with me is Iski Britton, one of the ascendancy of surfing in Roslawna, County Donegal. Is it four times national champion, Iski?
Two times Irish National Women's Champion and the British Professional Tour Champion 2006.
And so you are a member, that's fair to say, to a member of some sort of aristocracy in Roslawna. Your family have been surfing there for a long time.
Yeah, I guess so. My dad and his brothers would have been, I guess, some of the first surfers in Ireland and definitely the pioneers of it. And they still surf as well. And also my mother, that's how she got to know my dad through the surfing as well. And myself and my sister surf. So I guess, yeah, you could say I was born into it.
How did the Britons, in other words, your family, begin surfing?
It all started off in the 60s. My grandmother, she went over to California. She worked in the hotel business and saw surfing there. It was just starting to kick off. And saw the surfing and thought, oh, it might be a good idea to get some surfboards back home and, I don't know, get the tourists out in them. But when she brought them back and the boys saw them hanging up in the hotel, I guess they had other ideas and took it out in the water and experimented with the boards. And eventually they figured out they could stand up on them and it just all moved from there.
And then you took to it naturally yourself?
Yeah, I grew up in Roslawna and I don't ever remember anything else but being in the beach, in the water. I guess I maybe started surfing when I was about 5 or 6 and an oversized wetsuit and big foam board.
Yeah.
That's advanced a lot as well now. But yeah, I've just always been in the sea and in the ocean.
Oh, what about you, Martin? You're from Tramore. Was there surfing there?
That's right. Yeah, there's been surfing in Tramore since the 60s.
How did you start?
Well, I started in Tramore, I suppose, growing up in Tramore. It's quite a famous seaside resort, I guess, really. And I just grew up swimming and fishing and just in the ocean. And started surfing from, I guess, you know, kind of early teens was the first time I would have surfed, but it would have lasted maybe a summer,
yeah,
as wetsuits weren't really widely available and, you know, cash would have been an issue possibly. So rather than freeze in the winter, just packed it in. But I'd say I probably seriously started surfing by the time I was 17, 18. I was really hooked on it at that stage.
And have you seen a gradual growth in surfing in Tramore?
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, when I started surfing, there was quite a lot of people my age surfing in Tramore, and of course older with the generations of guys that had gone before. But it really exploded probably in the kind of mid 90s, and it's been growing steadily all along. Now the reason for the explosion, I don't really know. Perhaps, you know, TV media.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly now surfing is represented right across the media. You just have to open a newspaper and there's talk of surfing and there's advertising, which involves surfing, and it's kind of, it's certainly grown a lot. It's seen as, I suppose, you know, quite cool, but it's certainly gotten, shall we say, mainstream,
right,
for sure.
Iski, you were born in 1986, so surfing had developed to a point. And you mean, yeah, your grandfather was this legend of surfing. Your dad, your uncle were all great surfers. You took to it completely naturally, did you? Even, sorry, your name, it hadn't dawned on me. Iski, I was wondering, it's a gorgeous name. Tell me what it's about.
Yes, it's quite funny, my name. Because both my parents surfed, mm-hmm, they actually named me after a famous surf break on the west coast of Ireland, Iski. And it has its origins in the Irish language from fish.
Iski.
Iski, yeah.
So. That's why.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's pretty apt, predestined, yeah, or something.
And so your life has been about surfing principally, like so far in the first 21 years of your life.
Yeah, it's pretty much a huge part of my life, and basically in our house, when the surf comes up, the rest of life goes on the back burner, and we go off surfing, and all our family surf trips away on holidays or holidays away with the family would have been for the surf or places where there were surf. I mean, me and my sister Becky Finn head off on surf trips with dad, or he picks us up after school,
yeah,
and we all head off surfing. It's full time year round for me. Especially when I finish school, leaving cert, and then for the last 3 years, I spent My biggest focus then was my surfing, improving on it, competing internationally and travelling. And travelled all around the world. It's a great thing to travel with and experience places and culture through surfing as well. Mm-hmm. And then last year I went to Australia, Puerto Rico, Fiji and even Africa during the summer. And Hawaii
going?
This winter.
Is it because of competitions or is it for training or what brings you?
It's for competitions, yeah. But also just I love to travel as well and just to surf new places, experience new waves.
It sounds paradise, basically.
Part of exploration, I guess.
So you get to do the two favourite things. First, I presume you get to surf in warm areas where you're not having to wear a wetsuit and yeah. You also get to see different cultures, different worlds.
Yeah, it really is incredible. But at the same time, I've travelled a lot and I can't imagine ever settling down in one place. But I do have strong roots at home here in Ireland, and having grown up with such a great surfing family and having support from them. Mm-hmm. And I also really appreciate Ireland more when I come back home, having been away. And we do have great surf as well, even if the conditions aren't so nice all the time, especially in January. Yeah. We get lots of swell, but battered with gales.
Would you agree with that, Martin? You've surfed around the world as well, presumably, have you?
I have. I've been to quite a few places throughout the world, and I'd say surfing would be responsible for me going there. I probably wouldn't have gone to half the places if I didn't surf.
Really, yeah.
The locations, you know, you see them, you hear people talking about them, you hear, you know, the guys that have gone before you talk about them. But I suppose it's certainly taken me to some interesting places and gotten me into a couple of interesting scrapes as well, I suppose. But unlike Iski, I've probably settled down a little bit more now. I'm 34. I've been surfing more years than I haven't been.
Right, yeah.
Right, which is interesting, I suppose. I've been on it quite a while.
If you turn up in Hawaii or Tahiti and somewhere and say you're a surfer from Ireland, what do they think of that?
Number one, you can pretty much spot us in the water because we're the whitest, frecklest bunch of surfers there. The last time I was there was 2000. The winter of 2000, I was with two other Irish guys who were probably whiter than me and have more freckles than me. So we stood out like a sore thumb on the beach. Mm-hmm. We were very fortunate at the time. We were put up by a brother of a kind of a friend of ours, a guy by the name of Jack Johnson, mm-hmm. who is now a world-famous singer.
Yeah, that's right.
We would have met him as a videographer here years ago,
really?
Making movies before he ever started singing. And his brother put us up and his family looked after us and we were just taken in, mm-hmm. And treated royally. You know, we had a great time over there. And when you turn up at certain locations, mm-hmm. As a foreigner, you know, it's difficult to really, you know, kind of integrate and to really go out there and get your waves because there's a lot of locals out there who really, you know, don't really want to see you there. But when you're introduced around by a local family like this, it's yeah. fantastic. You know, you're all of a sudden you're fully, you know, you're in there. Their click, really, if you like, and it's a lot of doors open for you.
So they do. So surfers abroad do know about Ireland as a destination.
Oh, Ireland has some. I mean, it's no secret,
right?
You know that I can announce it over Irish Airways, but it's there's world class waves here.
Right,
it's a cold water paradise. Is what it's been described as.
Man.
We don't have a crowd problem like Hawaii has a crowd problem. There's yeah. a lot of people surf there. And it leads to other problems, you know. But Ireland, for instance, they talk about crowds in the water, but I don't see it personally. There's a lot of people surfing in Tremore. Mm-hmm. You know, there could be 50 guys in the water. And the weekends, for sure, there's a lot of traveling surfers. Mm-hmm. But midweek on the peak, yeah. if you can get off work,
yeah.
God knows surfing is responsible for many a career going down the toilet. You know?
yeah.
I'm testament to that myself. But, I mean, midweek up there, you know, it's pretty uncrowded around here still, you know.
And you won't get that in Hawaii, in the famous spots in Hawaii.
Oh, absolutely not. Oh, it's like going to war.
Wow.
You know, it's like doing battle. It's you know, and you're not from there, so I mean, you know. Yeah.
How do you find this, Iski? If a lot of your life is spent going to these different places around the world, how are you accepted? You know,
that's the thing. I mean, surfing, it's a real tight-knit community, and it's like there's a global surf tribe, or there's a lot of sort of tribal attitudes in that you go out to a lineup and there is in a lot of places a hierarchy of sorts where there's the locals, and then if you're a newcomer to that you got to work your way up, be patient and have have respect for the locals and show them your worth in terms of the, yeah, you can stick at it, you can surf, but you sort of have to be patient and wait for them to welcome you in.
Mm-hmm.
And problems arise when you get people coming in with the, you know, coming out with the wrong attitude. I don't know, maybe from where they surf, it's really competitive to get waves. Like, I've been in Australia where it's, some of the breaks are just chaotic. There's so many surfers and it's like a free-for-all. But then in Ireland, that attitude doesn't work. It's sort of, it's more of a give and take, and you can't just go out and get greedy, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you give me an idea? There's a myth of a certain culture that goes with surfing. Is that myth true? Or tell me about the culture that surrounds surfing for you in your life, Iski.
The surf culture in Ireland is very different to other places in the rest of the world, probably mostly because of the climate as well. But it is starting to take off here, and it is going more mainstream.
But you don't spend your whole time high-fiving or dooding each other, do you?
No. There's so many cliches. We don't. But it can be very hard for people to break into that or to get a grasp or understand it or even understand what is our obsession with the sea, especially in middle of winter when it's freezing cold and it's howling, the sea's raging and really stormy, and you see us suiting up and going out and they just think we're crazy. And maybe we are a bit. I think we have to be a little bit possessed. But it's really hard to explain that pull it has. But in surfers in Ireland, they have to be a lot more hardy, I guess, than most places to stick at it. And it is really tight-knit. Pretty much everyone knows everybody else in the surf community, though it's getting bigger.
Can you talk about that, Martin? Is there particularly, you know, is there a particular Irish surf culture or that general surf myth that people think about?
I suppose we're not unique in the one sense that we're surfing very, very cold water. And there's, you know, there's Northern California is as cold, East Coast of America. But Irish surfers, I think, are extremely hardy. The kind of hardcore element of Irish surfers, which would be the ones who would surf all year round, we're getting battered by North Atlantic low pressure systems. There's big swells, there's massive winds. People are still going out, they're getting suited up, they're trying to find a little nook or cranny somewhere in the corner of the country that's the wind is it's a protected spot. There's an offshore breeze it could be -2 degrees and the wind chill, the water's freezing. Technology has kind of grown a lot. We've got really good wetsuits now.
Mm-hmm.
We've got gloves, we've got booties, you know, we've got hoods, so we're quite warm in these very, I suppose, near freezing conditions, you know. The culture in Ireland really is, I think we welcome people coming over. I think that still exists, you know. We depend on tourism in this country, as you know, it's one of our mainstays. Surf tourism is on the up, really. Mm. And, you know, we see traveling Aussies, we see Californians coming through. And they are welcomed here, you know. It's good to see them coming through. It's never going to get overcrowded here, I believe.
Because
of those conditions.
Yeah, so
in the depths of winter.
You have some high-tech gear on your side protecting you, but it's still -2. There has to be something driving you, something incredible. Is there this idea of a paradise or a utopia connected with surfing? Is there an element?
Well, look,
of that?
There's a famous surf brand out there, and you know, this may sound a little bit corny, but one of the lines they use on promoting their product is only a surfer knows the feeling. And it's quite accurate.
Right.
I can tell you how fantastic. I left Tremor this morning. I didn't have a surf, but one of the lads just called me before I came in here, and surf's pumping in Tremor. And he's just about to go surfing. And I know where he's going to go surfing. I know the conditions. I could tell you, you know, the conditions and what I've done and how I've surfed, and you could go, that sounds absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm.
If I tell another surfer, they know exactly what I'm talking about, but they're not going, that sounds amazing. They're going, you know, I missed it. They're not really happy to hear it,
right,
you know,
yeah,
because
yeah.
They know they've missed it, and they've missed that feeling in a sense. And it's the closest I think you can get to nature, to be honest. Your equipment is minimal enough. You're out in the ocean. You know, you're in this. You have to be completely self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Surfing is not a team sport, even though there's a lot of people in the water. you're not really competing against anybody else in that sense either, of a team sport. You're really competing against, I suppose, the elements and yourself to try and improve yourself as a surfer.
Yeah.
And it's just a fantastic feeling of you know, riding a wave.
You're listening to The Big Adventure on RTÉ Radio 1. I'm talking with Martin Cullinan, surf instructor at the Tremor Bay Surf and Echo Centre, and Iski Britton, twice national female surfing champion. Iski, can you, I mean, I know it's impossible, but can you some way summon up the concept of why you surf? What is it? You've suffered. You've been out in freezing over and over again. Why the hell have you done it?
It's extremely addictive, I suppose. Isn't that right?
It is. And then also it's hard to get a fix in Ireland as well. So maybe that's why I travel so much.
And I mean, it's dangerous. But that water becomes liquid concrete, basically. At any moment, it could smash down over. It could get you on the rocks.
And that's a lot of people ask me too. Do you not get really scared? Or when you surf bigger waves, you not get really frightened? And I go out and I often, you do feel the fear, but the thing with surfing is it sort of pushes you to feel that, get intimate with it, and then go for it anyway and do it. But I guess too, you're also, you're in an element where you can really push the boundaries of where your limits are at or your potential. And also, once you step in the water, you've just let everything else go behind you. You're turning yourself on the shore and you're facing the ocean, and then you're leaving any stress or worries behind. And
yeah, it's almost religious the way you're making that sound.
But it's often compared to, you'll meet a lot of surfers who'll say that's it, the ocean is their temple. And that's, and it might sound corny as well, but I think it's pretty apt.
And I mean, obviously, you obviously say you're chasing some sort of paradise that you're there, but you say sometimes you come across fear, and when you see that fear, you go straight towards it. So what you're saying, you...
Well, you often find from surfing that if you're going for a wave and you hesitate or you pull back, that's when you're going to get smashed, you're going to wipe out, and it's, you suffer a lot more. Whereas a lot of the time, if you commit to it and go for it anyway and then you make it, it's incredible and can be the best ride for life. That's
Martin,
what it teaches
you. Yeah, fair enough. Can you think, Martin, of your best experience surfing?
My best experience surfing? Well, warm water is always a major, major plus coming from Ireland. I've had some great experiences surfing all over the world, all sorts of waves. You know, there's all sorts of waves that break, and surfers are usually looking for one particular wave. And it's usually quite, if you see a place that has a sign on it, you know, beware currents, you know, no swimmers, no swimming. That's what you're looking for, mostly, you know, because you're looking for that type of wave that comes out of deep water, it hits a shallow reef, and it forms a cylindrical barrel, which is called a tube. And that's what you want. That's what you're looking for. That's what pretty much every surfer is looking for, that type of wave. Now, it takes a certain skill level to get to that, to get to that level of surfing.
Why? What's this tube thing? Why are you looking for that?
Because you want to catch the wave, and you want to ultimately be surrounded by water. So you're in the wave, so there's a fine line between actually threading through that wave, that cylinder, and getting absolutely pummeled by the wave. So you're trying to maintain that balance, but you're inside the wave looking out. And it's, I think Sean Thompson or somebody said it back in the 60s, it was time stands still.
Yeah,
time stands still at that moment. Right? Yeah, and now it's only for a couple of seconds, but it almost seems like minutes sometimes. You know, and that's the feeling every surfer is looking for. And every surfer listening to this is going to know exactly what I'm talking about.
It's that moment from the Guinness ad in the 80s or from the Old Spice. The water is crashing down behind
him. Right behind him, inches behind him. Yeah.
And how much of a tunnel have you got in front of you?
Very primal, huh?
Yeah, yeah. Well, sometimes you can have...
It
depends how much acceleration you've got going through, but sometimes you can be quite deep in there where you're almost gone. You're almost, history. But you just accelerate through it, so you can be 20 yards back, 10 yards back, sometimes just a couple of yards back.
And how near is the fear to that, to the exhilaration?
It's more exhilaration than fear. Yeah, right. It's once you're in there, it's you know, you feel safe in there almost until it catches up with you, or you accelerate out of it, and then you come out in a blaze of glory, or you don't come out. But it's still worth catching that wave just for that couple of seconds before you get absolutely pummeled.
So surfers are always looking to get back into the womb.
Yeah, I suppose that's it. Well, that's been said. The feeling is almost like being, you know, being back, you know, safe and sound.
Yeah, I find when I'm in it too, you're sort of nearly just, all your senses are screaming, and you nearly just want to get back out and make it. And then afterwards you get a real rush. You're like, whoa, but it's, yeah. it's kind of, it all happens so fast, and at the same time you can have that timeless feeling as well.
Yeah.
I suppose to get back to my best experience, I mean, that would be my best experience in surfing, but where it actually happened would be probably Ireland.
Really?
You know, yeah. we've got some fantastic waves here, and just to pick one particular, I suppose, session, there's a couple of fantastic waves on the West Coast. To mention a county, I suppose, a county that I used to live probably 10 years ago, Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one particular wave there that's absolutely fantastic. And I surfed it with a friend of mine from an Englishman called Tom Deutsch 2 winters ago. I still remember that session. It was just the perfect session, really. And so Tom would have testified to it, I'm sure.
So in fact it spread. I mean, we know about Bundoran, that was one of the famous places in San Sebastian. Yeah. We know Tremor, as you're saying, has been there since 68, 69. Mm-hmm. But in fact, all around the coast almost. I mean, I know there's groups in Kerry, Lahinch is now famous.
Yeah. I mean, there's clubs, there's surf clubs. I suppose every ocean county, if you like, has a surf club now. Tremor and Donegal being the first. Bray Surf Club is actually the first surf club in the country.
Right.
Back in the mid-60s.
Tell me this, the people are now talking about Al na Sharach, can you tell me about that? What's that?
Al na Sharach. Well, it's a wave that breaks under the cliffs of Moher, and it's a fantastic wave. I mentioned briefly earlier about when a wave comes out of deep water and mm-hmm. hits that's exactly what it does there, and it does it as good as anywhere else in the world and as violent as anywhere else in the world.
And this is, it's 20 or 30 foot high, isn't it? It's only been found recently, has it?
It's been seen. The guys have seen it years ago, but yeah. It was completely inaccessible.
Right.
And it was surfed really for the first time last winter. Yeah, it's a year ago. It's just over a year ago since it was first surfed.
And it's causing ripples around the world, is it?
It is, yes, it is. There's some English magazines have jumped on the back of it. Being out there surfing, it's one of the most dramatic places I've ever surfed. It's you're sitting at the very bottom of the Cliffs of Moher, you know, 700 feet tall.
Yeah.
It's absolutely incredible backdrop.
Iski, this is a new type of surfing where one gets towed in on the back of a jet ski, isn't that right, into these particularly dangerous places. Is that something that interests you?
Yeah, I'd love to get into it. I'd love to give it a go. I tried it once in Australia, and it's completely different to paddling surfing. It feels really different, I guess. Yes, you're not just surfing for yourself anymore, you're working with a team. Mm. You're also really dependent on the person on the jet ski. It takes a huge amount of training and preparation, and obviously it's a lot more dangerous. There's a lot more things that can go wrong. I mean, I've surfed in a lot of places that would be considered extremely dangerous, and people might have been killed surfing it. And I think, like, for example, my first trip away by myself would have been to Tahiti when I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I surfed this wave called Chopu. And it's, Marty will know as well, and all the surfers around the world, it's notorious for being a hell-raising wave. Really, really powerful. And most powerful wave I've ever surfed. And beautiful setup in Tahiti, amazing mountains, water's crystal clear, and then you have this monstrous energy just coming out of the ocean at you all of a sudden. But places like those, you got to go out with armour on, as it were, and mm-hmm. you do tend to be a lot more prepared. And by that I mean, like, your head needs to be in the right place, and you need to make sure you're not out of your depth, obviously.
And I mean, someone like you must have so much instinctive knowledge. You've been surfing what, since you were 8 or 11?
Oh, even younger, yeah. I'd say.
And going out all year round, right through every season. The amount of things that you would have just picked up, I suppose, even naturally, it would be incredible.
Yeah, sometimes I take so much of it for granted, I don't even realise. And then having grown up with it in our house too, even the amount of knowledge I have in terms of constantly checking weather forecasts, or every evening at the house, we check the swell, what's happening the next day, and we plan our day around swell charts. and then even at school, Dad, if the charts look really good and the tides are right, it might pick me up a bit earlier. Or I come in, I go surfing first thing in the morning and come in with my hair wet. Or Dad would pick me up at winter time, and we'd only have a few hours, or in the middle of winter, you only have an hour before it gets dark. So I'd be in the back of the van, get changed into my wetsuit, so I have extra time in the water to catch more waves.
Wow. Do you see them in your place, in the surf school you have in Tremor?
Yeah, we've got, yeah, with the schools, we've got, you know, we've got all ages coming through the schools. I mean, from six up almost, you know. And, you know, we get, there's co-ed schools in Tremor, and we get the girls' schools down and the guys' schools.
Yeah.
And we're putting, you know, every student in Tremor has come to the centre at some stage, you know.
How come? Why? The schools are actually sending...
It's part of the CBS in Tremor. It's part of their PE syllabus, where they come surfing as part of PE. And it's really, I believe it's really the only school in the country that's doing it. They've been doing it for the past number of years with us. But, I mean, this is part of the syllabus for this local school. And we're trying to use that school as a model. Throughout the rest of the country, really, for schools to go to their local surf schools, for schools to come to us in Tea Bay and Tremor, the schools in Sligo to go, you know, to Sligo, to Bundoran, wherever. It's a fantastically healthy pastime for the kids. This is something that they can learn, okay, they can do in PE, and then they can take it to the next level and come back and get more lessons through us, come to our summer camps, and just then eventually buy the equipment and they can surf themselves, you know.
Aisky and Donegal, are there kids coming in?
Yeah, it's something similar is really happening as well, that the schools are starting to see surfing as something, I guess, it would have been really underground before now because it's gotten more mainstream. They're starting to see the actual real positive benefits from it. And I think because the schools are getting behind it, kids are sticking at it, but they're developing and progressing. And it's great for surfing. Surfing's getting stronger in Ireland, and standards, the level of surfing's improving as well. Mm-hmm. But it's coming up from a younger generation, which is great.
Yeah. Now, it's definitely too late for me, but if someone young wants to get into surfing, what can they do?
Well, Moncal, I suppose what they do is they get on the internet and check out the local surf schools. They can come down to Tremor. Mm-hmm. It's surftbay.com. And we get a lot of people from Dublin travelling various other surf schools in the country. But, I mean, it's never too late.
And Aisky, if they want to be taught by the twice national Ireland female champion, do you offer lessons ever?
Oh, yeah, I do. I work as a surf instructor during the summer usually. My cousin just opened a surf school in Rosnaile, Finn McCool Surf School. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you can come there, and actually it's pretty much a family run business.
Thanks for listening to the Big Adventure Podcast, a Mixed Bag Media production for RTE.